Today's shir is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud Beis, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom, Amar Mar. We had learned in the previous shir the machlokes of Rami Bachom and Rav Chisda. If Rishus Yairish is Kirishus Lokeach or not. When a Yairish receives the property of his, something from his father, from somebody who he's inheriting, is it considered a shini rishus, just like when somebody buys such an item, which we have learned many times in our Masechta, that if we couple yiyush with shini rishus, then it becomes under the ownership of the person who bought it. So Amamar asked the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa, at the end of the previous shir, the Gzeil Kayemis, that if the item that was stolen is still in existence, Chayovim Lushalim, then the Yarshim have to give it back to the person who this item was stolen from. Ask the Gemara, Lame Tavit Yufta the Rabbi Bachama, isn't this a question on Rami Bachama's opinion? Because Rami Bachama's opinion is that even if the item is in existence still, if there was Yiyush, and also it was given over by Yerusha, then there's no longer a chiyuv to give it back to the person who was stolen from. Answers the Gemara, Amalach Rami Bachama, responds Rami Bachama, Ki Tanya Hi, where was that Braisa taught? That Braisa was referring to a situation of Lifnei Yiyush. And since there was no Yiyush yet, even if Rami Bachama is of the opinion that Rishus Yairish Kirishus Lakeach, as we said, it has to be coupled with Yiyush, here there was no Yiyush. Says the Gemara, Rav Adbar Ava Masn Lahod Rami Bachama Ha. Rav Adbar Hava teaches us Rami Bachama's opinion from a different braisa. In other words, we come to the same conclusion that Rishus Yairish Kirishus Lakeach, but he learns it from a different subject. Because according to him, the braisa says, if the father left them over money that he had obtained from ribbis, even if the children are aware that this money was received by their father as ribbis payment, as interest payment, still they don't have to return this money to the loiva who paid the ribbis. Because it says Amar Rami Bachama, the reason is also Meres, because Rishus Yairish Rishus L'Kayach Dami and becomes theirs. Ask the Tzlach if the point of this Braisa is to teach us the Halacha, the Rishus Yairish Rishus L'Kayach, why does the Rami Bachama or the Braisa, the Tana of the Braisa, prefer to teach us this lesson through the Halacha of Ribbis versus the Halacha of Gzela? Wouldn't it make more sense to teach it to us through Halacha of Gzela, which is the subject where it's most pertinent to teach us Rishus Yairish Rishus L'Kayach? Answers the Tzlach. The Tana taught us the case of Ribbis to teach us another Halacha, that only the children are not obligated to give back the money that they received through Ribbis. But the father, since he was the actual malva that received it from Ribbis, he still has an obligation to give it back. And this really can be understood better, particularly if we pick up the Svara that Taisus teaches us. The Taisus explains that Ribbis, unlike Gzela, is money that was given with the free will of the loiva. And therefore, perhaps we should think that even the person who received it, not only his children, should not be obligated to give it back. That's why we need the braisa to teach us that they don't have to give it back, but their father does. Rav Amar, Rav will say, this braisa is not a proof to the concept of Rishus Yairish Laf Rishus L'Kayach Dami. For I could say, L'Oilam Emeloch, we could really suggest that Rishus Yairish Laf Rishus L'Kayach Dami. B'shani Hacha, so why over here don't the children have to give back the money? Because Damakra Atikach Mi'itoi Neshach V'Tarbis, the Torah says you're not allowed to take interest. Ahadalei, So the Torah says to the person who received the interest, return it. In order that people should be able to live together. We know interest is a very detrimental payment to society. The day, but only to the father who received the ribbis, kamazle rechmana, does the Torah say that he has to give it back, livrei le mazle rechmana, but not to the children. There's actually interesting machloikis rishainim, if this is only, to what extent does this did apply? Because what would be the halacha if the father made the interest bearing loan, but his father passes away, and the loan, the children are still paying. The loiva is still paying that money to the children. Will the same then apply? Or do we say that since it was not they that created the loan, there is no chiyuv to return that ribbis? As I said, it's a machloikis tanon. Says the Gemara, man the masna l'braisa. The one that says that the braisa teaches us the concept of rishus yorish, Kurushus Lokayach Dami. Certainly Koshkar Masnisan, certainly our Mishnah teaches us that concept. Because if in the Braisa we're saying that's the reasoning, certainly that will be the reasoning in the Mishnah. However, Madam Maslay Masnisan, the one that says that the reason in our Mishnah, if the Yorshim receive the item, they don't have to give it back, because we apply the concept of Rishus Yorish Kurishus Lekeach, we would say perhaps only in the Mishnah is that the reason. However, in the Braisa, we don't necessarily have to say it has anything to do with Rishus Yorish Kurishus Lekeach, rather we'll say that even Rami Bachama Karavi Masnala, Rava will say that the reason, Rami Bachama will agree that the reason the money doesn't have to be given back is for a totally different reason, because like Rava says, the halacha is that only the person himself who received the ribbis must give it back, no one else. Tana Rabbanan, Hagoyz Umachlas Bonav, if somebody robs something and gives it to his children, the halacha is Pturim El Shalom, they don't have to pay the owner for the item they received, since it's no longer in existence. The halacha is they don't have to give it back. And as the Mefarshim clearly point out, there would be a nafkamina between Rav Chisda and Rami Bachama if there was or wasn't Yiyush in this situation. That would have bearing if they have to pay or don't have to pay. However, he niach lefneim, if the item that was stolen is still in existence, then the halacha is gedolim chayavim l'shalim. If they're gedolim, they have to pay it back. Ketanim, however, if they're ketanim, pturim l'shalim, they don't have to pay it back. And as Rishonim explained, Rami Bachama will explain that this, as we said at the beginning of the shir, that this price is referring to a situation where there was no yush, and therefore, even according to Rami Bachama, it has to be paid back if they're gedolim. However, if they're ketanim, they won't have to pay back. Again, the reasoning being, as we explained, as we will learn later in the shir, rather, the opinion of Rami, the opinion of Sumchis, that ketanim can never be held responsible. And the reason ketanim can never be held responsible is because you have to have the person attended in Torah, and the ketanim are not considered as if they're personally attending the din Torah. Vim Amru, however, if the gedolim said ein anu yoidim chashbayna shechashvino shechishavino imach, we can't know what money our father did or didn't owe you, then the halacha is the pturim, the namachuyif to pay even by gedolim. Because they're saying that our father perhaps paid back what he owed you. Ask the Gemara, Mishum the Amri, ain't on Yoidim, because they say that we're not aware if our father paid back or didn't pay back Turim, that would make it enough that they should not be liable. And as the Mefarshim explained, isn't this a situation of bari v'shem, or bari v'adif, that the victim says that the item was stolen from him and not returned? The children say, we don't know. And we know throughout halachi, the din is that bari v'shema, bari adif. So why do we believe the children over the victim? Amar Rav explains, Rav HaKama, this is the way to understand the Braisa. G'daylim sh'amru, if the G'daylim say, yoidim anu, shbaynus, shechishe v'vinu imcha. We know about all of the business dealings our father had with you. And we know that our father no longer owes you anything. The halach is the pturim. Why? So Taisus gives two explanations. One explanation is they believed because they could have had a migui saying that hechzar nulach, that we already returned it to you, and since they have such a migui, they're neman. Another pshat Taisus says is that we're not dealing here with a situation that the victim has a aid, has aidim to corroborate his claim. And since the victim doesn't have aidim to corroborate his claim is a much weaker claim, and therefore they're not believed. The Ramban seems to take a different approach. He says that the children have a special namonis that they're always believed. Tanya Idach, another braisa. Hagoizel machal esponav. If somebody steals and feeds what he stole to his children, the halacha is pturim misham, they're not liable to pay for what they stole. Hiniach lufneim, but if he left it before them and they ate v'achlam and they ate it, then the halacha is bank tanim bank doylem bank tanim chayavim, they will be liable. Ask the Gemara, ktanim, why if the ktanim are they chayiv? Why are they chayiv? Lo yehei dale da azuke. They shouldn't be worse than a mazik. And we know that if a child does hezik, he's not chayiv. So why are they chayiv in these circumstances? Amar Papa, this is the way to understand. Hachkamer. If the item that was stolen is still in existence, then the halacha is ben gedolim, ben ktanim, chayovim, whether they're young or old, that they have to return it. And as the Mefarshim explained, since it's referring, we'll explain that this brisa is referring to a situation where there was no yiyush yet, and since there was no yiyush, they cannot be held, they will still be held responsible. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava, hinich lam aviim parashula. The father left for them a cow that he had borrowed, and then he passes away. So halach is mishtamshim b'kol yimei shalosa. They may use it for the entire duration of the term of the loan. The Rishonim explain what does it mean, the duration of the term of the loan. If there was a clear stipulation how long the loan would be for, so it's very easy to understand what it means when we say the duration of the loan. If there was no specified amount of time, some Mefarshim suggest we look at the normal situation. How long is it typical that this type of an item would be lent for? Others say that if there was no specified amount of time made up at the time that the loan was initiated, we assume that it was a 30-day loan. Now, the Mefarshim ask here a very fundamental question. They ask, how could the children continue using the item that was lent to their father? Isn't the halacha that ein ha-shoyel rishoyel ha-hashol, that if somebody borrows something, he's not allowed to lend it any further? So how could the children use something that their father borrowed? It wasn't lent to them. So the Rashba says that the item here that was lent is an item that was designated for lending. And when is there a halacha of ein ha-shoyel rishoyel ha-hashol? Only by something that's not made for constant lending. This was made for constant lending, and therefore the halacha doesn't apply. Others say that when somebody lends something to someone else, it's self-understood that not only will the borrower use it, but his family will also use it. And since these are family members, they are allowed to use it. Another pshat that I saw that the Erech Shai suggest is that when it is Ein Erechoy Rishoy LaHashuv, that if I borrow something, I can't lend it on to take this item and lend it to someone else. But here, it's an unusual situation where the borrower, Rachman al-Tzlan, was Nifter. And here, since it's a Mitzvah L'Shchicha, the din of Ein Ashoy Rishoy LaHashul doesn't apply. The Dvar Avram suggests that the din of Ein Ashoy Rishoy LaHashul doesn't apply when there's a term to the lend, to the amount of time that it was lent for. And other Mepharshim suggest that the din of Ein Ashoyel Rishoy LaHashul is only L'chatchila, but B'di'evid, if he did lend, it would be acceptable. In fact, this approach of Ein Ashoyel Rishoy LaHashul, that it's only L'chatchila, not B'di'evid, is the basis of a psak in the Tshuvas Rikvegel. Reb Kveger discusses a situation where there was a bachur in yeshiva, a boy in yeshiva, who brought linen from home, and he lent his linen to someone else. And now, he wants to demand that the person he lent the linen to should have to give it back to him, using the argument that I really had no right to lend it to you, ein ashoy rishoy lahashul. Says Reb Kveger, since, as we just explained, the entire concept of Ein Ashoy Rishoy LaHashul is only Chatchila, but the Eved, once you lent it, it is considered a valid halachic loan, and therefore, he can't demand it back. Now, continues the Gemara, so these children are using the cow that their father had lent. Mesa, if it passes away, if it dies, Ein Chayav Me'etzah, they're not Chayav for Oinus. As we know, normally the halach is that a Shoyl is Chayav for Oinsin. Here, since they weren't the ones that actually lent it, they won't be chayiv and einsim. However, points out the Rosh, if the person who lent the item, lent the cow to the father, seeing what's happening, tells the children specifically, I understand that you have the right to continue using it, but I'm specifying that you should remain responsible now as shoyalim, then the din of the Gemara wouldn't apply, and they would be held responsible. There's also machloikis rishonim. Although the Gemara is saying that the normal din of a shoyl, which is that he's responsible for einsim, doesn't apply here, will these children be chayiv for geneva vaveda? Some rishonim suggest that geneva vaveda, that they will be responsible at least for, and others say that they won't even be responsible for geneva vaveda. If they assumed that it was their father's, and therefore they slaughtered it and in order to eat it, and then it turns out it's not their father's and they have to pay the owner for it, the halach is they have to pay the price of the cheap rate of meat. What does some Rishonim say, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Dmei Basar Bazal is 2/3 of the price. Other Rishonim say is sometimes you have a person, he's not ready or not able to buy a product, or not able to buy meat. Let's use our Gemara. But if there's a very good price available, then he'll buy it, even though he normally wouldn't have bought it. That is what the Gemara here means. What would if he spent, what was he ready to spend if he could have gotten meat at a good deal? So I saw a very interesting shaila that Rabbi Yitzchak Silberstein discusses around a similar situation. He says there was a situation, two neighbors' apartments in Eretz Yisrael that had work done on their electric box, and by accident, the electrician got the wires mixed up. They weren't aware of that, and one of the apartment owners was getting very low electric bills. He was getting very low electric bills, so he went and started consuming more electricity than he normally would have. He put on the air conditioner, other appliances, much more than he normally would have. The other neighbor, who didn't use a lot of electricity, and all of a sudden seeing he has very high electricity bills, went and they tried to investigate what's happening, and they saw what happened was that the wires were mixed up. So he came with a claim to his neighbor that he should be paying his high electricity bill. And the other neighbor said, if I would have known that this is what's happening, I would have never used electricity so much. Does he have to pay or not? So Rav Zilberstein paskins that he certainly has to pay. And his explanation is as follows. He says, in our Gemara, the children really have no way of knowing. They really have no way of knowing if their father did or didn't pay, did or didn't own this cow. And it's a legitimate mistake to assume that the father really owned this cow all along. But in the case of electricity, everybody knows that if you use electricity, you're going to be charged for the electricity. And therefore, making a claim that I really didn't know is not a valid claim. Tysus asks, and other Rishonim ask the same question, why should this person not be considered a mazik? Says Tysus, since it's an oynus gomer, he's not considered a mazik. And this is, again, based on Tysus' opinion everywhere, that an oynus gomer is not considered a mazik. The Ramban, who doesn't subscribe to that concept, and says that even an oynus gomer is considered a mazik, explains that the way we need to understand the Gemara is that the assumption, the chazaka, that anything that your father had is his, is such a strong halachic assumption that we certainly cannot consider the children a mazik if they did this. However, says the Braisa, hinich lamavir mechrais nechasim, if the father left over real estate, then the halach is chayov l'mushalim, they do have to pay for what they used. Says the Gemara, that some that say this qualification that we just learned, that there's a difference if he owns real estate, was referring to the first part, that even though Rava said they're potter from Einstein, if the father left over real estate, then they would be chayiv. And some say it's referring to the sefer, this thing that we just learned, that if they ate the animal, the potter, it's only in a case where the father didn't leave over real estate. Says the Gemara, man the masnul ha-reisha. If in the reisha, where if they have real estate, the chayiv and einsim, koshken a sefer, certainly in the sefer, they'll be chayiv, and this will be in disagreement with Rapapa. Because as we're going to learn Rapapa in a moment, Rapapa's opinion is that a shoyel is not chayiv for einsim until the einus actually happens. So therefore, the fact that real estate was left over doesn't make a difference. You can't collect from the father's real estate if the oinus happened when the father wasn't alive. However, man the masnul ha-sefer, that it is referring to the sefer where the children ate it, that's when they're obligated to pay if the father left over real estate, because the obligation was caused by an entire factor altogether. It's because of the shechita, and the shechita could certainly be attributed to the father, as we've been explaining, because they assumed that it was their father's animal. So therefore, they who are assuming the place of the father, it could be viewed as if the shechita was done by the father himself, and therefore the money is collected from the father's assets. Whereas in the case that the animal died because of an oinus without any action on their part, has nothing to do with the father, and therefore the mashal cannot collect from the father's estate. Dom Rapapa, what is the basis of Rapapa's reasoning? If somebody stole a cow and then it got slaughtered on Shabbos, chayiv. He's chayiv to pay dal vehei. Shekva chayiv gneva kam shidavah deyis of Shabbos. He was chayiv kefil as soon as he stole it. He stole before Shabbos. So now that increased to dal vehei because he shechted it. But since Dal Vehei is a knas, it's not a regular monetary obligation, so we don't apply the concept of Kimle B'Drabimnei, and it'll be, besides for the Chil Shabbos, for shechting the animal, he'll also be Chayiv Dal Vehei. However, it was only a borrowed animal, and he shechted the Shabbos Potter. Why? Because when does the Chiv come? The Chiv comes when he actually shechts it. Because till then, it was still a Shula. Since those two things came simultaneously. So obviously, according to our Papa, one is only Chayiv at the moment that the Hezek, or the damage, was done, not prior to that. And since both of these obligations came at the same time, he'll only be Chayiv for Shabbos, he won't be Chayiv Dal Vehei. Moreover, Rashi goes into quite a long explanation, because he's not really considered chayiv for the keren because of kamlei b'drabanei, and there's no chayiv kefil because he wasn't a regular ganef. He started off as a shoyl, and if there's no chayiv kefil, Rashi goes on to explain there also is no chayiv dalad vehei. Tanabon, the pasuk says veheishiv es gzeila asher gozal. What does the Torah mean with the words "ashegozel"? Yachzuk en shegozel. He should return it as he stole it. And as Mefarshim explained, we're certainly not referring to the individual, the gazlan himself, because as we've learned so extensively in this Masechta, the gazlan himself, even if the item that he stole is no longer in existence, has to pay back the value of what he stole. Here we're talking about the children. If the actual item that was stolen is no longer in existence, then they don't have to return anything. Bikan Amru, and this is the basis for what we have been learning. Hagoyz l'machal is bonav. If somebody steals something, gives it to his children, turim l'shalom. They don't have to pay. Hinich l'fneim, but if he left it and it's still in existence, bein gedoylim bein ketanim, whether they're adults or minors, dir alokas chayovim. Shem Simchas Amru, however, Simchas' opinion is Gedoylim Chayovim Ketanim, however, Peturim. Why a Ketanim Peturim? Because as we were learning, the Ketanim are not considered parties to the Din Torah, and as we're going to now begin the Sugya of Din Torah, we have to have both parties there in order to have a valid Din Torah. And says the Gemara, actually, a story to make this point. Says the Gemara, Bar Chamur de Rav Yirmiya, Tara Gali Bapa de Rav Yirmiya. The son of the father-in-law of Rav Yirmiya closed the door of his father's house to Rav Yirmiya. Asl Kamei de Rav Ovin, and they came to Rav Ovin with a Din Torah, because Rav Yirmiya claimed that either he had received as a gift, or he had bought this house from his father-in-law, and his brother-in-law had no right to lock him out. Amr, so if Amr said, Shalayu Toveya, he's claiming something that which is his, he is the Yairish, and therefore he has a claim. Amr, so Rabbi Yirmiya said, for Masina Saadi, Dechzik Bebechai Davua, I could bring Edom that I have a chazaka on this house. And since I have a chazaka on this house, then the house belongs to me. Amalei, so he said to him, is this a way to have a Din Torah? Your brother-in-law is still a katan, and a katan can't be party to Din Torah. We can't have a Din Torah when your brother-in-law is a katan. Why? So the Rishonim give two explanations. Either since he's still a katan, he's not able to argue on his own behalf. Another pshat that the Mefarshim give, as we've seen in the Gemara, the pasuk says, "For huad bebalov." Every Din Torah requires that both parties be present at the Din Torah. And since he's not able to be present, at least mentally, that's not considered a valid Din Torah. Says the Gemara v'loy, so Rabbi Yirmiya argued, didn't we just quote a brisa, "V'ktani ben gedoylim ben ketani chayavim," that it doesn't make a difference if they're gedolim or ketanim, we should have the Din Torah. Amalei, so Rav Amin said, Harei mechloikas sumcha b'tzitcha. Sumchas doesn't hold that way. Simcha says the Ketanim cannot be party in the Torah. Omer, Sir Yirmiyah said, Ichbel Kule Alma V'Koyke Sumchus Lafukin L'Didi, that the entire world join together and take Sumchus' opinion so that I shall lose the house that I am entitled to? Adahachi Egilgal Milsa Osa Matal Kamid Revuah. So they were continuing this argument until it came to Revuah. Omer, so he said, L'Shmila Chada Rav Yosef Achama Omer Baishia, didn't you hear what Yosef Chama said in the name of Aisha? Then Yosef Chama Amar Rav Aisha, Tinek should talk about Vodav. If a child takes his slaves, V'yarla Tachsodish Shal Chaveri, and he sends them to somebody else's field, V'amar, and claims, Shalihi, it's my field, Ein Oimrim, we don't say Nantamach Yigadl, that we have to wait for the cotton to become a Gadl, and till then, we can't have it in Torah. Ella, Metzinai Soi Miyad, we take it away from the child immediately. And when he becomes an adult and he wants to have a din Torah, then we can have a din Torah. So why over here don't we say the same? Let Rabbi Yirmiyah have the house, and then when his brother will become a gadol, we'll have a din Torah. And so says the Gemara, you can't compare the two situations. Mi dami. In Rabbi Oishi's case, the child did not have a chazakah that this belonged to his father to back him up. In a situation, this like chazakah davua, where he has the chazakah of his father to back him up, like in this case, law it's different. And therefore, Taisa says that if in this case it wasn't just Rabbi Yirmiyah making a claim, but rather Rabbi Yirmiyah would be on the property, the din would be very different, and then Rabbi Yirmiyah could stay on the property, and then when his brother became an adult, then they could have a din Torah. Says the Gemara, Amr Ashi, Amr Shapsoi, Bekabel Eden Shlevifnei Baldin. We can have a din Torah even if the Baldin is not there. Tabar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan was wondering about this. The Chimia Kabam Eim Shlevif Neid Baldin. Can we have such a din Torah as we've been explaining? And Rishonim give another explanation why we can't have a din Torah without the Baldin. Because when the Baldin is standing there, the other party is going to be a lot more concerned not to say a lie. And that is, of course, the halacha, as we will get further into our shiur today, Mitzvah Shem, that you can't have a din Torah without both parties there. There is a machloikus Rishonim, however, if that din is only lechatchila or even b'diavad. That means if a din Torah did take place without both parties there, do we overturn the din Torah, or b'diavad do we allow the din Torah to stand? As I said, it's a machloikus Rishonim. However, there's a very interesting tshuva that I saw from the Shaila Meishev, where there was a situation where there was a Rebbe in a yeshiva that there were serious rumors regarding his behavior, and they wanted to remove him from his position, and they accepted testimony about this Rebbe without him standing there. And based on that testimony, they removed him from his position. The Rebbe came running and saying, as Al Gemara just taught us, that this is unacceptable. Al Gemara says you can't have a din Torah without both parties there. So how could such a din Torah take place? So Shaila Meishev, besides what we just explained, that the b'di'evad maybe such a din Torah is acceptable, din Torah, he says that's only in a situation where we're taking money from one party. So you can't force somebody to pay and be part of a din Torah that he didn't actually physically attend. Here, we're just referring, could he continue being a Rebbe or not? But we're not actually taking money out of his pocket. A little hard to understand, because he's losing his job, and therefore he said that the psak stands, and he can remain removed from his position. Kimamene Rabbi Yosef Bechanina. So Rabbi Yosef Bechanina accepted what Rabbi Yochanan said, but he said there are exceptions to the rule where a din Torah could take place without both parties being there. It's referring to a situation where the Toveya is sick. There is a machloikis, what will be the din if the Nitva is sick? does the same din apply? And so here we're talking about a case where he's sick, so he wants to have a time to have the din Torah. Or he aid of chaylim, or he witnesses are sick. Or shoy aidim of action leilach medina siyom. The aidim are going to travel overseas, and now he wants to have din Torah before he loses the opportunity. Here too, on the line of the shulchan of aloi ba, there's an interesting machlokes how to understand it. Tosfos says that you have to have both conditions. You have to have a condition that he's sick, or the Edom is sick or traveling away, but that in itself is not enough of a reason to have a din Torah without both parties there. We also have to have a situation of a shilchal of Vlaba. We call him to come to the din Torah and he refuses to come. But without both conditions being met, it will not be considered an acceptable situation to have the din Torah without both parties there. There are others that disagree and say that it's not referring to one case with two stipulations. Rather, these are two separate situations where a din Torah could be had without both parties there. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Mekabel Edim Shloim Bifnei Baal Din. The law is we could accept Edim without the Baal Din there. Amar Marukfa, when is this halacha applicable? When the din Torah already began, with both of them attending, and then he doesn't continue to come, they ask him to come and he doesn't come, and then we could continue the din Torah since the din Torah began, even though he doesn't show up. If the din Torah never began, and the circumstances that we just discussed aren't there, much amalei, there he could claim another bezdin godla sinna. I want to go to a bigger bezdin, and that's why I'm not coming. Here too, we have a machloikis. Who can make the claim that I want to go to a greater bezdin? Certainly, the Rishonim say that the nitva has a right to make that claim. He says, I'm not satisfied with this Bezdin, I want to go to a greater Bezdin. The question is, that the Rishonim debate, can the Toveya also make that claim? Tosfos seems to say that only the Nitva can make that claim, Rabbeinu Tam, and others claim that even the Toveya could say, I want to go to a greater Bezdin. Ihachi asked the Gemara, if this is a legitimate claim, that one could say, I want to go to a greater Bezdin, so then Kipos Kleinami, even they already began the Din Torah, Matzi Amalei, why shouldn't they be able to say, LeBezdin HaGodlosinah, we want to go to a greater Bezdin? Amravina, Kigoyin Dinaka Disko Bezdin HaGodl. We're referring to a situation where the Bezdin HaGodl sent instructions that they don't want to get involved with this case, and they want that the local Bezdin should adjudicate it. Amarav, the kaim is a shtar shlo b'fnei baldin. We could be mekayim the shtar even without the baldin being there. And here too, we have a machlokes rishonim. What is the case that we're referring to? Some rishonim say that again, only in the situation that we have mitigating reasons that we've been describing, that he has a right to make this claim that he wants to have, that we need to have the din Torah immediately without the mitigating circumstances, even Kim Shtoris cannot take place without both parties being there. However, there are other Rishonim that suggest, Tosfos seems to learn that way, that you can have the Din Torah in this case, even you can have the Kim Shtoris even without both parties there. For they explain, Kim Shtoris is only with Rabbanim, because as we learned from Sefta Ksubis, Edim ha'chsumam al-shtar nasa k'misha nechgur edusam be'bezdin, and really the whole need for kim shtaris is only with Rabbanan, and that's why it can be treated differently. Another explanation that the Rishonim give is that the kim shtaris is not a din Torah between the two parties, it's just a din Torah on the shtar. Is it or isn't it a valid shtar, and therefore it's not the same type of situation. Rabbi Yochanan, however, says, we can't have kim shtaris unless the loiv is there. I'll explain you Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning. As we've been quoting the pasuk says, the ball of the Torah says, both parties have to be there. However, Amar Rava, Hilchsa, Mekaimus Ashtar, Shloim B'Fnei Baldin, we can have Kim Shtaros even without the light of the air, Afila Oimel V'Tzaveach, even if he screams that the Shtar is false, if he can't prove it, then we can do the Kim Shtar. However, the Omer, if he says, the Kita Lezimna, give me some time, add the Masina Sada Omerana Lelashtara, that I could bring Adim to disqualify the Shtar, Neptinale, we give him the time. E also, if he comes, fine. If he doesn't come, Neptinale Shani Vachamish Vishani, we'll wait a Monday, Thursday, and Monday. And if he still doesn't arrive, we write a letter that he's on in Cherim for 90 days. Tlasa Kamoy, the first 30 days. Why? What's 90 days? Explains the Gemara. Tlasa Kamoy, for the first 30 days, we don't actually seize his property. The Emer, because we are saying Katarch Bezuzev Inezev, he's trying to raise money to pay his debt. But see, the next 30 days, Nami Loi Nechsin Alei Lenechse, we don't go to his property. The Emer, because we say Dimeloi Ashkech Lemezev, maybe he wasn't able to borrow funds for Katarch Mazbin, so that's why he's trying to sell off some property to raise funds. Basroi, the last 30 days, namlo nechsin al nechsei, we still don't take from his property. He found a customer, and now the customer has to raise the funds to pay for the property. But if he doesn't come by the time the 90 days are up, then we seize his property. And I saw that the Mashal makes a very nice point. He says, the fact that the Gemara gives the reasoning for the 90 days, it doesn't just say we give him 90 days. It's the point is, Mashal says, it's only in a situation where we have reason to believe that this person doesn't have the funds to pay what he's supposed to pay. So that's why, as the Gemara makes the calculation, we give him the 90 days to pay up. But if we know that the person is a person of means, and he does have the ability to pay, and he's just dragging it out, there we don't give him in the 90 days. Also, the Rishonim suggest that this is only in a case where there are no lekuchas. But in the case where there are lekuchas who purchased the property, recognizing that the property was mortgaged, there the halach is that they go to the lekuchas immediately. Furthermore, says the Gemara, v'hanimil dama asina. It's only in a case where the person says, I'm going to come to Beis Din. Avo omalay asina, if he acts chutzpedig and he says, I refuse to come, then la'alta kusfinan, we immediately write a seizure warrant on his property. V'hani mili, furthermore, b'malva, it's only regarding a loan. Ab kaden, when we're speaking about a kaden, then la'alta kusfinan. And as the Rishonim explained, by a malva, so we know that Allah is Mivaloi Tzor Nitna. So he had the money, and now he doesn't have it. So as we just explained, he has to try to raise the money. However, he, in a case of Bikodin, he should have had the Bikodin. It wasn't for him to use, and therefore, if he doesn't return the Bikodin immediately, we seize his assets. V'chichas finin, however, when we write it, amakakoi, we only take karka away from him. Amatatli loy, not matatli. Why? Dilma, we have to be concerned. Dilma shamet ba'ochelu malva matatli. Maybe the malva will use up the matatlin. And then, the chiosu loiva, or maisa sadi, when the loiva will be able to bring edim, or moral l'shtara, invalidate the obligation to pay. But he'll come back to the malva to give him back his matatlin. L'mashkech midi l'migba, he won't have anything to collect. V'yisle makarka l'malva. However, if the malva has karka, from which the loiva will be able to collect back what was taken from him wrongly, kasfinin, that we do write a warrant. V'loyib, it says the Gemara, that's not true. Because I drachta matatloi kasfinin. We don't rely on matatlin. Avgav de islay makarki, even if the malva has karka, chashinim, because we have to be concerned, shematachsif. Maybe the malva's karka will deteriorate and he won't be able to collect what was taken from him improperly.
the chesvin and adrachta, and when we write such a warrant, we notify the liver of so. V'hani mili, however, when do we have to notify him? Only if he's mikrov, close by, which the Gemara will explain what that means in a moment. Av mirchik, if he's far away, loy, we don't have to notify him. If he's far away but he has relatives, that people constantly traveling to where he is, we wait 12 months at the Azliv Asasharti. We don't send a special messenger, we only wait 12 months until somebody come to notify him. He waited for Va'acha before issuing a warrant on him at the Asli Ve'aisa Shartim Bechazoi, the time that the caravans went. For Lahi, says the Gemara, that isn't a good proof. For there, Hasim Inish Alimahu, Ma'achva was a very powerful person. If a match had drafted the day, and such a warrant were to come to him, it would be impossible to remove it from him. That's why we wanted to give the loiva an opportunity. Avahach, in a normal situation, we don't wait. The shliach should go. The Besdin sits on Monday and Thursday, so the Besdin appoints a messenger who goes the next day, Tuesday, for Asa, and he comes back by Arba B'Shapsa on Wednesday, or Chamisha B'Shapsa, Kai Bedina, and by Wednesday, by Thursday, when the court is in session again, we again have the Dintara, and we write the Adrachta.